With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we're joined by Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well today, guys. How about yourself?
Doing quite well. Hope you got to enjoy just a little bit of an opportunity to catch your breath during an open date week, but I also know other things are ramping up, like basketball practice and you name it. So how was last week for you?
It wasn't quite like a Jimmy Hyams typical leisurely off week. John, I mean, I had to do a little work, but it was pretty good. It was good to stretch, be able to stretch your legs a little bit and get away from the grind for a minute.
Well, there is so much to talk about, but why don't we start with Tennessee, of course, back into action, and it's amazing how by not playing last week, Tennessee's stock is now going up across the board, whereas there's a reason to take a different look, perhaps, at Alabama and how strong the Crimson Tide are. Same with Georgia and its performance that it had to rally in the fourth quarter. Didn't have the lead until the fourth quarter in its game at Missouri. And then, of course, Texas A&M has just spiraled out of the top 25. But what do you think about Tennessee getting ready to go to LSU, which once again rallied as it was down big to Auburn but came back to win, and the Volunteers open, they're not there now, but open as a 4.5-point favorite on the road?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think after, what all of us have been through in the last, it's not the same for us as it is for coaches and players. I don't mean to insinuate that at all, but I guess what I'm saying is we've watched a lot of bad or meaningless football over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and it is definitely not the case, right now. I mean, Tennessee's coming off what was a huge weekend where they were the focal point of the college football world. Maybe not to that level this weekend, but they're playing in a big game against an upper echelon SEC program in, one of the cathedrals of the sport. LSU is obviously down from what they were a couple years ago, but that's a program that's won SEC and national titles in multiples in the past couple decades. And then, if you take care of business this weekend, you set up what is just going to be an absolute monster showdown with Alabama in 2 weeks. I don't mean to get ahead of things, but it's just talking about these are things that are on the table for a program where just nothing approaching this level has been out there for them in years and years.
Just want to give you a little background before we go to the phones here, but we just had a caller, Rick, who was talking about, and he made a comment that he felt that Tennessee's schedule was kind of an embarrassment. He was talking about, for those who have commented either through text or online to comment, he was talking about Tennessee's non-conference schedule. Because you've got two MAC teams, you've also got an in-state school, and then you've also got Pitt, which is, I don't think, anything that you have to apologize for. I mean, defending ACC champs. So anyhow, let's go to the phones and check in with Michael, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Michael.
Afternoon, gentlemen. You just addressed what I was calling in to say that, yeah, while their non-conference schedule, isn't loaded up with top 10 teams, they do have 6 ranked teams on their schedule, so half of their schedule is sounds pretty tough to me. I'll hang up and see what your thoughts are on the matter.
Yeah, and you make the perfect point, Michael, and thank you so much for hanging on to join us. That's one of the reasons, Jimmy, that it's not what it used to be, where Tennessee liked to kind of tier its non-conference opponents, that you wanted to have the equivalent of a solid Power 5, and then maybe another one that could be one of the best Group of 5 schools, and then you went on down because you only had 3 spots to fill when it was the 11-game schedule. But, Rob, when you take a look, I mean, that you're going to face Georgia and Alabama every year if you're Tennessee. So that's one of the reasons, just like we see South Carolina knows it's got Clemson in its non-conference. You know that if you've got the built-in either really tough opponents in your conference schedule, you're not going to sell out and make it 1-4 where it's murderer's row before you even get to league play.
Now, anybody who makes a comment that's critical about Tennessee's schedule is just ignorant of college football and the way things work. I mean, look around the SEC and tell me where people, if you want to talk about embarrassing, look at Kentucky's non-conference schedule. I mean, Miami of Ohio, Youngstown State, Northern Illinois, and they're forced to play Louisville, which this year is, big deal. It's nobody is going to play more than one, you know, Power Five type team. They're going to play three cupcakes. Alabama played Texas. You just mentioned South Carolina. They're forced to play Clemson every year. Arkansas's quote unquote big out of conference game was Cincinnati. Auburn played Penn State. That's Pittsburgh equivalent. Georgia, you know, played Oregon, but that's a one off and, you know, one of those made for TV games. Tennessee is doing nothing but keeping up with the Joneses when it comes to scheduling. And you mentioned Johnson's, they've gone to 8 SEC games. That's how everybody does it. And frankly, Tennessee, you know, does a much better job than most other programs that have been on their level, where Tennessee's been at for the last 4, 5, 6 years of at least, you know, trying to find somebody that fans care about, you know, that one of those games. Now, everybody's going to play three cupcakes. Everybody's going to play three games that are automatic wins, unless you do something like Texas A&M and, you know, slip up and lose to Appalachian State. So I just, I don't put any stock in that comment at all. I mean, that's how the big boys do business. He played 8 SEC games. Teams like Alabama, Tennessee, you know, Auburn will typically go out and try to play one that is fan friendly, and then they're going to pay for three wins. Everybody does it.
Arkansas, I'm trying to find somebody. I think Arkansas might have had the best non-conference schedule because they had Cincinnati and BYU. So those are two pretty good teams. I can't find anybody else that I would say, yep, they got two pretty good non-conference games on their schedule.
Maybe in a different year when Georgia Tech was not just trash.
Yeah. Say
Oregon with, you know, Georgia with Oregon, right, or Georgia Tech.
Right. Yep.
Would possibly be, but that's not the case this year.
Right. And sometimes that can be year to year. You can't blame Georgia for playing Georgia Tech, because if Georgia Tech happens to be bad, that's not Georgia's fault. So
yes.
And Liberty every now and then is pretty decent. That's also an Arkansas schedule. But other than that, there's what you're saying is right. You typically have a team playing a one nice opponent, which Tennessee did in Pitt, and then three other games that they certainly should win, even if it is Appy State.
So, yeah, and that'll happen. And it's if they go to the 9-game SEC schedule, Jimmy, when expansion comes, but almost say you can kiss the interesting non-conference game goodbye, except that just, you know, some very rare circumstances where maybe it is some big kickoff event for the season.
A bunch of those games are already scheduled, but to your point, I'll be curious to see how many of them get canceled. Because right now, Georgia's got they're playing two pretty good Power Five teams down the road, okay? But you start adding Oklahoma and Texas, and at least one of those, maybe both, will go away. I'll be really curious to see what happens with Georgia and Alabama with their schedules down the road.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's get a call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Rob, what do y'all think are some ways Tennessee might have a good edge on an issue?
Their quarterback's a lot better than LSU's quarterback. That's where it starts for me.
Right. Yeah.
Not even close.
Okay.
That's the biggest advantage, I think, for Tennessee. When I look at the rest of it, I don't know. I will take Tennessee's two best receivers over LSU's two best receivers, because Kayshon Booty's taken the year off for whatever reason. He's been a non-factor. So I think Tennessee's two best receivers are better than LSU's two best receivers. Beyond that, I'm not sure if I see another advantage for Tennessee.
Well, here's what I found interesting today. Well, starting to look around at it, Jimmy. I mean, LSU's run numbers, they don't look that bad on the surface of things. But Jaden Daniels has carried the ball 60 times in 5 games. He is far and away their lead rusher, but far and away. Next closest guy has 34 carries. And – you know, easier said than done, but if you can keep him contained,
yeah,
that's going to go a long way towards bottling up that LSU ground game. Now, can Tennessee do that? You know, I don't know. And I, out of all those carries, Jimmy, I admit to not knowing, you know, what percentage or have been, you know, design runs, how much of that result of him getting out of the pocket and something happened when protection breaks down. But outside of him, the ground game is not spectacular.
No.
And I'll watch most of the, or a good chunk of the Mississippi State game, and left thinking that, you know, LSU's secondary, even though they're it's populated by a bunch of transfers, that they were pretty decent back there. But then, because they held Will Rogers and Mississippi State to just barely 200.
And that was stunning to me because, I'm sorry.
I was just Auburn lit him up with a backup, you know,
yeah,
quarterback, 30 yards pass.
Yeah, so Ashford threw all over him. Will Rogers had, I think, 216 yards. LSU is starting a transfer from McNeese State at one corner and a transfer from Louisiana Lafayette at the other corner. I think they are susceptible there. And what's funny about LSU, they started a former walk-on at running back against Auburn and Josh Williams, but John Emery was a highly rated running back who was suspended the first few games of the year for academic reasons, and then they got a Penn State transfer named Noah Kane who had a 100-yard game against Southern, but so what? So they have running backs that I think should be pretty good, but Rob, to your point, the run game has not been that effective so far for LSU.
Yeah, so much. It's been Jay Daniels. He's got over 300 yards rushing from the quarterback spot, and none of those backs have 200. And again, I don't. He's got 60 carries through five games. That may not matter this week, but I don't think that's sustainable for your quarterback in an SEC season.
Well, he was.
I could be wrong.
He didn't finish the Auburn game, and if he's not 100% with his mobility, that certainly works in Tennessee's favor because I think. It changes how dangerous he is when he is not able to run the football effectively. And he was limping around against Auburn. We'll see how healthy he might be this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. That's something to watch. And I'll be very interested to see how Tennessee's ground game does because, you know, LSU has some decent numbers, but they've also, you know, played New Mexico, they played Southern, and they played a Mississippi State team that, you know, just is not real interested in running the football. So if Tennessee comes out like they did against Florida and can really be balanced, run pass wise, you know, move the sticks on the ground, average around 5 yards a carry, I like Tennessee's chances a lot because even with all the problems we've seen in the secondary, I don't know that LSU is set up to exploit them. And on their best day, I'm not sure that they can score the way I think Tennessee will be able to score on Saturday.
Anything else, Steve?
Yeah, there's really kind of a little buzz going on about our football recruiting right now.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat, but I mean, Tennessee does not have a lot of room. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, Tennessee is in on some good players, but then recruiting is on the back burner right now. Tennessee's ranked number 8 in the country, playing at LSU. Got Alabama coming here a couple of weeks. There'll be a ton of recruits in that weekend. Coaches were out all over the country last week during the open day, seeing some people, seeing lots of different kids. But I think it's more about falling into, you know, a top 10 football team right now than recruiting. You keep winning games, and recruiting is going to take care of itself the way things are going right now.
Well said. Steve, we appreciate it. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Rob Lewis, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Rob, in terms of Tennessee – basketball exhibition game against Gonzaga next year in Frisco, Texas. They'll have a scrimmage against Michigan State before that. That's closed. But what are your thoughts about them scrimmaging Michigan State and then an exhibition against Gonzaga next year?
Oh, I think it's a nice look for Tennessee. You know, play it. I mean, Rick always wants to do that in the preseason. He's always done that, you know, with Davidson. Mm-hmm. Since he's been here at Tennessee for a close scrimmage in the past when he was at Texas, he did it with Mark Few and Gonzaga for many, many years in a row, and those two are tight. So I'm not surprised to see them. I mean, those are a couple, you know, of veteran coaches that are in you know, Rick's fraternity in terms of how long they've been around, and I think a lot in common in you know, what they think is important in building their own programs and in, you know, maintaining the brand of college basketball that they grew up and love. So not surprised at all that he's getting together with those two head coaches and should be just a great measuring stick for the team. I mean, it's not going to count on your record. It's not going to have any implications, you know, in your RPI, your BPI or any of that, but it should be just a really good way to find out where you are right before the season starts, and those will probably be, depending on how things shake out in the Bahamas. You know, Tennessee probably doesn't play any two tougher opponents than that.
Yeah.
maybe all year.
Yeah. Want to go back to football with two injury questions. One, your thoughts on the impact of not having Warren Burrell out for the year. And secondly, the passing attack didn't seem to miss Cedric Tillman against Florida. Is it more likely they will miss him against LSU?
Well, I think, Jim, anytime you get, you know, a game on film like that, I think it gives opposing coaches to find, you know, maybe figure out what you tweaked or what you did differently to, I don't know, mask may be too strong of a word, but just to try and compensate for not having Tillman there. So I would guess that LSU will have some thoughts, whereas Florida went in, you know, not knowing how Tennessee, what kind of workarounds they were going to try to use. But, no, I mean, they did not seem to slow down any. And if Ramel Keaton is going to show up and contribute like he did against Florida, it really, I think, takes a lot of the anxiety out for Josh Heupel and Alex Golish about, you know, where Cedric Tillman is going to be and whether or not you even think about pushing him. You know, it goes without saying that that's a much bigger loss if he can't go this week than Warren Burrell, who, you know, Burrell was a senior. He'd started a lot of games. But, you know, was also part of a secondary that has given up more yardage by a pretty wide margin than any other team in the SEC to this point in the year. The only pass defense that's given up more than 300 yards per game.
Rob, as we talked about right at the start of this hour, it really was something to watch how much Tennessee, even though it wasn't playing, was a part of the conversation, whether it was pre, mid, or post-game action. A lot of focus has been, as you started in your response to Steve, has been for quarterback Hendon Hooker. What's it like to see his name now all of a sudden go from somebody who started out maybe top five in pre-conference rankings in terms of quarterbacks this year, and then some were struggling to put him in the top half of what the SEC has, and now some have him as high as number three in their Heisman rankings. What's it like to see Hendon Hooker get this spotlight and join the conversation in terms of being recognized for the performance that he has put in?
I'm happy for him, and I think it's well-deserved. I really do. I mean, the kid has – I don't know what else that you could you know, expect or what to see from a guy. I mean, he's had one really big game against Florida and just came through in spectacular fashion. I mean, with an absolute historic performance, 350 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing, no interceptions, came through when you needed it. I mean, he had the national stage to do something, and he did. He took advantage. And, you know, I think to really legitimately thrust himself in there, Jimmy, and I'd like to hear what you – I think he's got to take down Alabama or Georgia. I mean, to make it a special season. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe he throws for 5,000 yards and, you know, 40-something touchdowns, and the numbers are just too good to ignore. But I think to really, you know, punch his ticket to get invited to New York and really be in that conversation, he's got to lead Tennessee to one of those wins that is just, you know, cover of Sports Illustrated type wins.
I'm going to put a maybe on that because I think some of that depends on what everybody else is doing. If Bryce Young misses a couple of games, maybe that takes him out of New York, potentially. So some of that I want to see what the others do. I think he could put up enormous numbers, and if he loses to Alabama 40-35 and to Georgia 40-35, maybe he can still get to New York. So you may end up being right, but I think there's a sliver of hope that he could end up in New York if he puts up big numbers and still loses to those two teams.
In any event, I think it's very realistic. It's not like you're talking, you know, something crazy has to happen, you know, for him to really be in the conversation. He basically just needs to keep playing the way he's played the first four games of the season.
Yes.
And, Rob, as I lead in to the question of what's going on to VolQuest.com these days, do you have a reaction to Tennessee announcing they're wearing the Smoky Grays in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, I know the kids love it. The players love it. I am well aware and well acquainted with a lot of fans and donors who, you know, grumble, you know, orange and white are our colors, and I get that totally. I understand both sides of it, but I know how much the kids themselves, and I guess, you know, from having kids kind of the same age, mm-hmm. how much, you know, they really get jazzed about the altered uniforms, whether it's gray, whether it's black, when you're doing something to the helmet. It puts a little pep in their step, and it matters to them. And I just, from that standpoint, I have zero problem with it because I know the players get really fired up about it.
And then what will folks find at VolQuest.com right now?
Tons of content about this Tennessee football team. Obviously, no game to review last week, so we're starting off a little slow. But if you want to get your first look at LSU this week, Eric Kane has a really nice preview piece that we put up on Monday evenings. We'll have the ever-popular Monday night chat tonight, which is just Austin Price's chance to shine every week from 10 until 11. And the intense coverage all week long on this team as they get ready to road trip to LSU. And as always, we'll be sprinkling in some recruiting.
All right. Well, we'll always look forward to it, Rob. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything this week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, and before we get into this segment, what we had planned, we go to the phones to say hello to Reed. Reed heard the cue to call, and now we'll try to score a Ford. Reed, how are you?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. How are you guys this afternoon?
Doing quite well. We sure do appreciate your listening. Thank you so much for that. Congratulations on getting through. So here it is. Tennessee back into action on the road. Volunteers head to Baton Rouge. It'll be an 11 a.m. local time kick for Tennessee. Noon Eastern when it starts between the Big Orange and the Bayou Bengals. Reed, how do you see it playing out between Tennessee and LSU?
Guys, I got Tennessee winning 38-31.
38-31. Well, you just tell me where I sign up right now. We won't even have to play this.
But, well, I just hope I'm right. Even though if I don't score a Ford, I hope they beat them.
Yep, 100%. Well, Reed, we sure do appreciate it. Again, thank you for listening. Congratulations on getting through. Good luck with the drawing, and good luck with your prediction. Have a great week.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So here's how it works. We take predictions all week long. There'll be a drawing on Friday. If Reed is selected and Tennessee indeed wins at LSU 38-31, Jimmy, what will Ted Russell Ford Lincoln do for Reed?
Well, they got $50,000 toward a vehicle for him, which is outstanding. And if he happens to find a vehicle that he likes a little bit more, might cost a little bit more money, he can apply that to another vehicle. But you're guaranteed having a fantastic vehicle from Ted Russell.
You sure are. So we sure do appreciate them. And be sure and listen for your next opportunity to score a Ford. That'll come tomorrow morning during the starting lineup. And Jimmy, now we turn our attention to high school football.
We do. And so we're going to give our Breakout Knoxville Escape Games Breakout Player of the Week. Now, with Breakout Games, you can celebrate your next birthday, an anniversary, a date night, or just come try something new. You're going to love it. You can visit BreakoutKnoxville.com to choose your adventure. And you can put that phone down, shut off your TV, close your email, live an adventure with your friends or coworkers. Visit BreakoutKnoxville.com is where you can go. All right. As usual, we had a lot of outstanding performances in high school football. We'll go through our honorable mention list. Walker Martinez from Anderson County was 15 of 22, 317 yards, four touchdowns, and a 49-22 win over Carter. And his top target was Eli Braden, who had three catches, 130 yards, and two scores. Peyton Ferguson from Campbell County, seven catches, 177 yards, and two touchdowns. He also returned a kickoff, 89 yards, and a 54-48 win over Clinton. Will Lester from Campbell County had 23 tackles. He also ran for two touchdowns. That's an interesting combination. And then Campbell County's quarterback, Landon Hensley, was 18 of 23, 312 yards, four touchdowns. We also had Marcellus Jackson from Fulton. Boy, is he having a great year. 16 carries, 214 yards, and a touchdown. 11 of 18 passing, 134 yards, and three touchdowns, and a 48-29 win over South Doyle. So another great performance by him. Even in the losing cause, Noah Vaughn of Maryville was 24 for 161 rushing with three touchdowns. But our Breakout Games Knoxville Player of the Week, Knox Area Player of the Week, Jaden Neal of Catholic High School. What a phenomenal game. 27 of 52 passing, 356 yards, four touchdowns. He ran for another touchdown, and he threw the game-winning touchdown to beat Father Ryan on what, the last play of the game?
That's 40, right.
43-42.
Correct.
Wow. What a brilliant performance by Jaden Neal.
Yes, it sure was. Catholic got the ball back. It was less than 30 seconds to go in the game. They had one timeout remaining, and they just found a way. It was Breland Harmon made the catch, and the extra point was the deciding factor. So it was a walk-off extra point, but Jaden Neal, his fourth touchdown pass, more heartbreak for Ryan, for Father Ryan, now 0-6 against Catholic. They were in great position to get their first win ever against the Irish. That didn't happen, and they had lost the week before 46-45 to Bowling Green from Kentucky.
Wow. This has to be a confidence boost for Catholic, though, to pull that one out. So, but what a great performance by Jaden Neal. He is our Breakout Knoxville Escape Games Breakout Player of the Week.
That's right. Congratulations to all of those we mentioned, as well as our winner, Jaden Neal. And, well, of course, we've got more coming your way. In fact, next segment, Jimmy, we look forward to a practice report from Eric Kane.
We do. Just a couple of notes before that. Do want to mention, in Tennessee and Alabama, that kickoff is set for October the 15th at 3:30 on CBS. So another CBS game for Tennessee. That's back-to-back CBS games for home games at Neyland Stadium for Tennessee. So also, I looked at a bowl projection from 247. I've seen, this is the second time that there's been somebody projecting this, Tennessee in the Sugar Bowl. Tennessee in the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma State. Now, 10-2 would pretty much seal the deal on that. But I do wonder if 9-3 might be good enough. It just depends on what everybody else does. Here's some other bowl projections. In the Cure Bowl, Ball State, which Tennessee beat handily against MTSU. In the Las Vegas Bowl, which is new to the SEC rotation, Mississippi State against UCLA. The Liberty Bowl, LSU against Texas Tech. Texas Bowl, Texas A&M against Kansas. Music City Bowl, Florida against Wisconsin. The Bowl in Tampa, it is the ReliaQuest, I think it is. Kentucky versus Illinois. What about Illinois? They're 4-1, and Brett Bielema goes up to Wisconsin and spanks him 34-10. That's where he used to coach. What a big win for the Illini. The Citrus Bowl, Ole Miss against Minnesota. Gator Bowl, Arkansas against Notre Dame. We mentioned the Sugar Bowl with Tennessee and Oklahoma State, and then the College Football Playoff, the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State versus Georgia, and in the Peach Bowl, Alabama versus Clemson. Ohio State would be the 1 seed, Georgia the 4 seed, Alabama the 2 seed, Clemson the 3 seed, and so that's Fiesta Bowl and Peach Bowl. Then the national championship game, they project Ohio State against Alabama. So we will see if that comes to fruition, but that's the projection from 247. As far as what the bowls are going to look like. I wouldn't mind going back to New Orleans. Wouldn't mind. It's been a while. So, and yeah. I think that'd be a great, great opportunity for Tennessee to get down there if they're able to win enough games and if things break out just right. And they could go against the coach that said no to him twice, Mike Gundy.
Sure enough.
Yep.
He's a man.
Yep. That's right.
Had a nice win this weekend.
They did. Beat Baylor. Got revenge. Baylor beat them in the Big 12 title game a year ago. They stopped Richardson on the one-yard line. This time Richardson scored and helped Oklahoma State pull away.
Yep. And I told you on Friday, don't be surprised if Minnesota doesn't lose on purpose because I picked them to win. And that's exactly what happened. And Minnesota no longer in the top 25.
No, they didn't have one of the best running backs in the country. Mo Ibrahim did not play. Wasn't known that he wasn't going to play. Had an ankle injury. He makes a difference. I mean, the guy's averaging, I don't know, 140, 150 yards a game. And without him, their running game just wasn't effective. And Purdue was able to pull it out. It was not a artistic victory, but Purdue goes on the road and gets the win to mess with John Wilkerson.
That's right. They enjoy doing it. I don't know why, but anyhow. Let's talk to Alan before we get a break. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Alan.
Hey, John, Jimmy, how are you guys?
Doing well. Hope you're well.
Doing well. Jimmy, I'm going to need a little advice later in the week. I know you're up against it. I'm heading to Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Need some advice on some places to see. But, you know, you're announcing those projected bowl games. And what a bummer for most college football fans to hear Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and Ohio State. And I remember late 90s, maybe in the 2000s, you know, Florida State, umpteen 10-win seasons. Tom Osborne, Nebraska, and when those started to kind of come apart, I could swear all of us on Sports Talk talked about, well, that'll never happen again. There's so much parity in college football. Did you all think that back then, and what happened?
Well, For one, I think those are four of the best coaches right now in the country. Secondly, they have out-recruited most everybody, and that's why you keep seeing them fighting it out to get in there. Now, Clemson missed a year ago, but they have typically been among the best in the country at recruiting. So there's a correlation between the top five or so teams in the nation in recruiting and the teams that you continue to see in the college football playoffs.
But I mean, that was true back then, and we thought that for some reason, maybe you didn't think it, or you and John, I just thought it was sort of a general consensus that parity had come, and we won't see that happen again, that, did we just misjudge that, or didn't think that way back then?
There's not parity at the top. There's parity between teams 8 to 25, but at the top, yeah, there's not parity, in my opinion. Yeah. So I think that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely not. And maybe, well, obviously we've got a few really, Sipman, you like him or hate him, he's a heck of a coach and you can't discount him. And he created that dynasty. Maybe the Vols will sneak back in there and break things up again. Who knows? But I'll call you later and get a little love.
Sure.
Of course, I'll need a breakfast place, won't I? Where do I eat breakfast before the game?
Depends on if you're in Baton Rouge or New Orleans. You get you some really good beignets in New Orleans, but if you don't want to go there, I'll talk to you about Baton Rouge.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to both, but I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Café du Mont.
Alan, we sure do appreciate it. And it's time for us to check in with Eric Kane for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Eric, how are you?
Hey, doing well, John. Appreciate it. Tennessee doing well as the off week is over, and Tennessee now preparing for LSU. Josh Heupel met with the media earlier today and spoke on just that, about now it's time to turn the page and start focusing on the LSU Tigers.
They do a really good football team here. Great opportunity at the end of the week. They continue to find ways to win. They're a good football team. They're long. They're athletic on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and obviously have really good skill players too. So exciting week for us as we continue to go down this journey. And players were good this morning. Looking forward to the opportunity on Saturday.
That was Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel, and all that video and audio is up on the website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. He was asked, that being Josh Heupel, about the injury situation about wide receiver Cedric Tillman, who had surgery on his ankle. Cedric Tillman was said to be limited in practice today per Josh Heupel, and of course we'll have to evaluate him as the week goes on. Cornerback Warren Burrell, Josh Heupel said that he has had surgery and he is out for the season. But some good news, cornerback D. Williams, who has yet to play so far this season, Josh Heupel said some good things about him, saying he's expected to play this Saturday. So, again, all that video and audio up on the website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. One other note, Tennessee and Alabama, two other notes. Tennessee, Alabama, 3:30 CBS kick on October the 15th. And Tennessee will wear the smoky grays on the road this weekend at LSU.
Eric, what did Coach Heupel say about the LSU defense, in particular the secondary, which has a lot of transfers?
Yeah, he said it's an experienced group in the back end. And just to give a quick little synopsis of that, you had safeties for LSU, two safeties that transferred from Arkansas. You had a safety for a cornerback from Louisiana, a cornerback from Oklahoma State who made 47 straight starts. You had a cornerback that transferred in from another Power 5 program as well. And they're just trying to patch it together in the back end, playing together more often and getting better as the season goes on. Here's Josh Heupel on that secondary and the challenges that it will present.
Yeah, you'll see press man at times, but you see a bunch of coverage variation from them too. So Hennon's got to do a great job of identifying the rotations. Our receivers got to do the same thing. When it is man-to-man, you got to find a way to go win. And you guys have seen us, since we've gotten here, that we're going to try to put those guys in a position to win, but we also trust those guys to go win in those situations.
Again, that was Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel on LSU secondary.
What did Heupel say about, and the players say about, an early kickoff in Baton Rouge, noon Eastern time?
Well, you couldn't hide that smile. You see it on video. You couldn't hide that smile from Josh Heupel when he was asked about it. He said, if you ask any coach in America anywhere, they're going to say give you the earliest kickoff possible. But again, he kind of changed the focus back on the environment, said that it's going to be a packed house, it's going to be a tough place to play, that you have all the preparation and trying to handle things like that on the road, but you got to take care of the football, cut down on the penalties, all that type of stuff. But, you know, Jerome Carbon was saying he absolutely loves early kickoff times because you just get to wake up, go eat, get taped up, and go play, and you don't have to sit around and wait on it all day. I think this is a win for Tennessee. Obviously, the earlier, Jimmy, you would know firsthand, the earlier you play, I think it's better for the opposing team. Yep. In terms of trying to move the football as well. So I think that they're big fans of it. And also, one other note to remember as well, Tennessee is a morning practice football team, so this is very much kind of in their wheelhouse as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. My phone just went... Let's see. Also, LSU has shown the ability to come from behind. They've trailed a number of games. They've rallied to win two of them. What did Heupel say about LSU's ability to respond to deficits?
Yeah, it's interesting. LSU has, I think, 13-0 against Mississippi State, down 17-0 against Auburn last week. The defense put the clamps down. They gave the chance for the offense to go win the football game, and that's what they did. He said, you know, for Tennessee, you got to understand what you're up against on the scoreboard. If you're leading, no matter what, you've got to treat it like it's 0-0, and you got to play for 60 minutes. Said that you got to go out there and compete no matter what the scoreboard looks like. You got to be prepared for their best 60 minutes each and every Saturday because they are a resilient football team. They do a really good job of creating turnovers. They've created 12 turnovers already in 5 games this season, and they're making plays on special teams. So Josh Heupel said you got to treat it just like it's a 0-0 the entire football game. But credit LSU. They are a resilient football team so far this year. But those are the highlights from Josh Heupel. And on a Monday press conference, all the video and audio up on the website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Today's Tennessee football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Kaner, you were busy with attending a wedding this weekend. Everything come off all right?
Yeah, it was good. I was charged with handing the rings over. I didn't lose them. So, job well done.
Yes, outstanding work. Boy, I bet you were sweating bullets until you had the chance to hand them over there.
I really was. I was freaking out. But I did my job, and the wedding was great, all because of me, obviously. So, yeah.
Of course. That's what they were there to see. And I'm sure their hair was triumphant. But
of course it was.
Eric, always appreciate it. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll get a break. Coming up, hour number 4 of Sports Talk, SEC replay official Gerald Hodges joins us. We'll, of course, go through the rule book and any questions you have about that. And up next, your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. It's all a part of hour number 4 of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.